Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. There's no better place to be than with Christians and happy in the Lord. No place at all. This morning, I'd like for you to take your Bibles and open to Romans chapter 14, and we're going to read the first five verses together. We will go through all of the verses and into chapter 15 a little bit, but together for the first five verses. So if you have that in your Bibles or on your phone, however you're doing it, would you please stand and join me and let us read these five verses in unison. Okay. We'll begin in verse number 1. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike, but every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, as we go through these verses today, I pray that you'll help each of the folks that are here today to understand what I'm trying to get across. And this is one of the best formulas that God has given in his word to help us to be sure that we're walking in the straight and narrow way every day in every item of our life and every activity of our life. And so I pray that we'll get the message today and use this throughout the rest of our lives to help us walk the way you want us to walk in your will and on your path and in your word, and walking in the Spirit. And so I pray that you will just be with us. I pray for all the different requests on our prayer sheet. I ask that you'll answer according to your will in relation to each one. And be with Pastor and Sister Crocker, and be with the missionaries. And we pray that you'll help us today, just in these few moments, to concentrate on some scriptures that will be very helpful to us if we put them into practice in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I've given you a printout in the bulletin, and I want to go through and give you the blank spaces so I don't miss one. I'll give them to you now, and then you'll have it. And the basic points in this message are very practical in our lives today. On the first one, we must live by personal conviction before the Lord. Personal conviction before the Lord. Number two, Roman numeral two, we must live unto the Lord. In other words, all we do, we should live as unto the Lord. Roman numeral 3, we must give an account unto the Lord. One of these days, we have to stand before the Lord and give an account of what we've done. And so we need to be aware of that, even in life, before that accounting is done. Roman numeral 5, we must edify or build up others by our life. Okay, and then Roman numeral 4. Roman numeral 5, we must live a life of faith. In other words, all we do, we should do believing this is what God wants us to do. And Roman numeral 6, we must receive one another as the Lord did us. And we have to be very considerate and respectful of our fellow believers in the Lord. So these are these will get you the key words that are important here. And this passage of Scripture in this passage, it really takes up Romans chapter 14, verse 1, all the way through that chapter, and also the first seven verses of chapter 15. There are times in the Word of God where chapter divisions don't line up with what the Scriptures are actually discussing, and this is one of them. And in this passage of Scripture, Paul is dealing with the problem of questionable things in the lives of Christians. Apparently, there was a dispute among the Christians at Rome concerning doubtful questions of conduct upon which the church was unable to act as a whole. In other words, you had some people saying, we need to do this, and other people saying, no, we need to do this. And so it was seen from two different sides. And no wonder there was a dispute, because in the passage, I want you to notice what it says in chapter 15, verse number 1. Notice what it says there. We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. But go back in chapter 14 and notice what it says in verse 1 of chapter 14. He that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. So here we have a situation where we may have some older Christians mature in the Lord, and then we have some younger Christians that are immature in the Lord. They've just been saved, not saved too long, not really grounded in the Word of God, and may not fully understand all of the counsel of the Word of God. And so some people say, well, if this be the case, then these things we can do, but these things over here we can't do. And questionable, you see. What can we do and what can we not do? Okay? So how do we determine what's right and wrong as we live our lives here on the earth? As Christians, we must rely upon the Scriptures and the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. And that's where some Christians go wrong. You know, they don't follow the Scriptures and they don't follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And they end up getting into things in their life that later they regret, because they got into an area where they don't feel comfortable, because they know this is something that most Christians are not doing, but I've done it. You see. So Paul lays down six principles in these verses. And if you can follow these six principles, you'll always be on the right side of every activity and question that comes up. Okay? You'll always be on the right side. The first principle is we must live by personal conviction before the Lord. If we read our Bible and we believe what the Scriptures are saying, and then we go contrary to that, then we're not living according to the conviction that we have. You understand me? The important test of fellowship at this point is in the faith or not in the faith. It's the weak person who is to be received and helped, not the wicked person who is to be, that's to be put away from among the believers. But you have a person that comes into the faith and they're not long saved, and they ask some questions, and maybe these questions are, you know, outside of the normal questions that Christians ask. And so we're thinking, oh, we've got a problem here. Well, the only problem is immaturity, and you have to give it time. You can't expect, if you have a baby, you don't expect the baby to walk next week if the baby was born this week. You understand? Yet, many times, once people, become mature in the Lord, and then someone else comes along and they say, well, why do they act like that? Well, probably because they're not as mature in the Lord as you are. And you have to be careful about that. you see. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. In other words, explain things to them. And make sure you use Scripture so they realize that they're following the Word of God and they're following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. And, you know, we live in the land of a lot of things to eat. And I pick and choose. I'm not so sure some of it would agree with me. Okay? And I pick and choose. But I give you that leeway too. We go into the hawker division and we all go to the stand where we feel the food is what we want and will agree with us, right? And we come back and have great fellowship. And one's eating noodles and another one's eating rice and another one's eating fish and another one's eating chicken. Okay? But whatever you do in life, make sure that it's to the true conviction of what you believe the Scriptures are teaching and what the Holy Spirit is leading, how the Holy Spirit is leading you to walk. And if you don't, you've gone beyond the bound. Okay? And you need to, this is a great principle. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13, it says, "But them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among you that wicked person." In other words, if you have some that are unsaved, if people are doing things that unsaved people do, you expect that. But you do not expect Christians to do things that unsaved people do. You understand me? But it's according to the Word of God and a person's understanding of the Word of God. So even as a young Christian, if you have some convictions about you, so that you don't live with a lack of confidence in the Lord, you must follow the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. The mature believer realizes that eating is not tied directly to our faith in Christ. But the weak believer refuses to eat meat based upon religious grounds. Now, in the West Indies, we had some folks that would not eat pork, period, because of what it says in Leviticus. They would not eat pork. Okay? So, that's fine with me. Eat what you feel is good for you. I eat what I feel is good for me. But in their presence, I would not eat pork. Because I didn't want to cause a problem, you know, with them. I didn't want them to feel that I was doing something that I shouldn't do. And so when you read this chapter, you see that. And it's based on that type of thinking. And, you know, the strong brother has to realize that the weaker brother may be offended or may, then try to do what the strong brother's doing but be convicted because of it. So you have to make sure it's according to your conscience. The spiritual principle that we must follow here is that each individual believer must live by personal conviction. But then we have to make the allowance that we allow them to do that. Maybe in 2 or 3 years, that person will believe, like, you know, will see it the way you're seeing it. But right now, maybe they're not seeing it that way. You see, the mature Christian knows why he does what he does or refrains from certain practices. And these convictions control his life. You see. So this is one principle that's very important. You have to live by how you're convicted. And if you do something, and you go out and you do something, and maybe you go to a party, and then when after you get to the party, they're doing some things, and then you're convicted because you're there, and maybe you shouldn't have been there. You understand me? You understand where I'm coming from? And Okay? Then talk to the Lord about that, and then you'll know next time you won't do that. You understand? Okay. Now, notice what it says in verse 6. Romans chapter 14, verse number 6. It says, "And he that regardeth the day, regardeth it as it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, but he that giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. But none of us liveth unto himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's." So principle number one is, am I fully convinced what I'm about to do or what I'm about to say is what I really should say or do? And if I'm not fully convinced, then back off of it. Principle number two, notice here, we must live unto the Lord. We're bought with a price. We belong to God. We're His. We're His child. Now He should be in control. We should live unto the Lord. In fact, in verses 6 through 8, we find here that unto the Lord is 8 times in these verses. So whatever I do, wherever I go, whatever I say, decisions I make, all those, everything should be as unto the Lord. And if it's all as unto the Lord, there may be some things that I have been doing that I will stop doing because it's not unto the Lord. You understand me? Am I doing this unto the Lord? I'm about to, my sister upset me, and I'm going to teach her a lesson. Can you do that as unto the Lord? My mother wants me to do something, but I'm not going to do it. Can you do that as unto the Lord? My husband said something and it upset me, and I'm going to give him the silent treatment. Can you do that as unto the Lord? You get where I'm coming from. What I'm trying to say is everything that we do should be as unto the Lord. Whether it is regarding the day, the eating, or not eating, it should be done as unto the Lord. The words, "He that regardeth not the day, and the Lord, he doth not regard it," are not in the best Greek text. But what they're trying to say is, one person would consider one day a holy day. But another person comes along, and maybe they're from another place in the world, and they don't have any regards about that day. I mean, on the 4th of July in America, we have Independence Day. But we're in Singapore right now. So Singaporeans, they're not going to celebrate 4th of July into Independence. You have another day that you do that, you see. So, but everything you do, regardless of what day it is, or what time it is, or where you are, it all still has to be done as unto the Lord. Why? Because He's your master. He's your Lord. He's almighty. And you're not. Everything as unto the Lord. And the will and the interest of the Lord in our life is what we have to keep in mind. A passage that helps us understand this is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. What? "Know ye not that your body, which is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You see, so if we keep that before us, every time we come to, should I go there? Should I do that? Should I say this? You know, act this way. If it's all as unto the Lord, we're in good shape. Why? Because that's what Paul lays out here to help us. Three times The Lord is mentioned in verse, you know, in these verses, you know. And it shows divine ownership. As unto the Lord, as unto the Lord, as unto the Lord. 8 times in those verses. God's in charge. And if God's in charge, then we have to make sure we're doing things the right way. Notice the third section here. In chapter 14, verses 10 to 12. In verse 10 it says, But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. In other words, we have to stand before the Lord one of these days. Will my life and my doings and my sayings and my thoughts, will they stand the test? Boy, that helps us make sure we don't go to the wrong places and say the wrong things, even if we're mad, you see. Paul asked the weak Christians, why are you judging your brother? Then he asked the strong Christian, why are you despising your brother? You know, the strong Christian says, well, he doesn't understand. She doesn't understand. And the one that's weak feels that they're, you know, not concerned. So we have to have a meeting place, and that meeting place is to make sure that we realize everything we do and say has to come before the judgment seat of Christ. And we have to give an account one day. So let's be careful what we say and what we do and how we, you know, we act towards one another and so forth. It's very important that we do that. In Isaiah 45, 23, the Bible says, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. You see? So one of these days, we have to give an account. And I remember when our children were young, there would be a little conflict among the children. My wife would say, listen, I'm going to leave this until your dad gets home. Okay? When dad gets home, we're going to deal with this. Well, when the name dad came up, they realized that the Board of Education may be applied. And they realized that I was going to talk to them about right and wrong and find out who was right and who was wrong. And listen, to begin with, everybody's wrong. Everybody's wrong, okay? Until I find out who really is wrong and who is right, okay? We have to give an account, and they had to give an account. Well, nobody wanted that. So a lot of times everything straightened out real quick, and Dad never did hear about it. Okay? But then other times Dad did hear about it. And so we'd have our little conference, and we'd have our little talks, and then sometimes we even applied the Board of Education to the seat of understanding to make sure that the talk had a lasting impression, at least for a few moments. Okay? How does the Christian prepare for the judgment seat of Christ? By making Jesus Lord of his or her life and faithfully obeying him. Instead of judging other Christians, we had better judge our own lives and make sure we're ready to meet Christ at the Bema Seat. Because we're going to. It's a given. It's going to happen. So we have to be ready for it. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, it says, And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. You see, it's important that that we have confidence in the Lord. I've trusted in the Lord, but then every day I have to make sure that I'm given over to Him, and I want to be in His will, and I want to be walking with in the Spirit, and I want to be doing what God wants me to do. And at the end of the day, I don't have a big long list of things where I need to repent as much, because I realize that Bema seat is coming one day. And then notice in verse 13 of chapter 14, in verse number 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably? Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of all men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may be edified. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended and is made weak. So here in this passage of Scripture, we must edify others by our lives. Am I causing others to fall? I'm not going to be in church Wednesday night. And we tell that to another Christian, and then they don't go to church on Wednesday night, and then it bothers their conscience because they could have been in church. See, we have to be careful about our brothers and sisters in Christ. Is there somebody that you're looking around and don't see this morning? Are you concerned enough about that other Christian brother or sister in the Lord to check on them, to see why they're not here? Maybe they're sick. Maybe they need prayer. Now, if we're really concerned about the body of Christ, then we're going to do that type of thing. You see, we must edify others by our life at all times. You see, let us no longer have the habit of criticizing another one. Well, I didn't see them today, and then we come up with some reason. Maybe they weren't here, but we really don't know. But we say that to somebody else in the church, and then somebody else feels, well, maybe that Christian isn't such a good Christian. Hey, listen, we got to be careful. You understand where I'm coming from. I'm talking about some principles that we can apply in our lives to make sure that we are doing what we ought to do in the body of Jesus Christ, and we come out with a crown, you see, and a well done from the Lord. And it's important that we keep these things in mind, you see. We have to edify other people. I remember one place where Francis and I went, and I was checking on people. And I don't remember how I did it, whether it was a phone call or an email. There was a way I was doing it. In every country, it's a little different, the easy way to communicate with people. And one Sunday, this couple came in and said, "Brother Blue, you'll never know how important you calling and just chatting with us for a minute or two helped us do what we really needed to do. And we were more faithful in church simply because you made that call. You checked on us." How many do you check on? How many are you building up? How many are you encouraging? You see, Paul was persuaded that nothing in itself is unclean of itself. But he said, you know, you might cause a problem in the life of somebody else by doing something, or, you know, and they're using food here to talk about this. But I'm talking about a principle that we can put to practice in our lives. And the spiritual principle here is that to build up others by our life, and if we love them, we will not be selfish and tear down their life by our own. We just won't do that. We'll try to help others. And a church that really is involved in helping others. And I appreciate the response we've gotten with the VBS and the camp, people wanting to be involved and help in it. And listen, the people that are saved and the people that are challenged and grow spiritually, it's all going to be worth it one day. Why? Because one day we'll stand before the Lord and we have to give an account. And was I involved? Was I doing my part? You see, all of these things we have to keep in mind. And then principle number five. Notice in verse 22 here, toward the end of chapter 14. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. In other words, am I doing this by faith? Whatever it is, what I'm saying, what I'm doing, my actions, my reactions, am I doing this by faith? We must live a life of faith. We must believe that things can be better than they are. But the only way they're going to get better than they are is if we live by faith and trust in God to do something that is beyond what I can do. This verse is addressing the strong believer. You see, the faith that thou hast, have thou thyself in the sight of God. In other words, sometimes people, they've been in the Lord a long time, but they really don't live by faith, you know. They live by sight. We want the missionaries to live by faith. Then are we willing to live by faith and give to missions so that they by faith are trusting God to give them what they need, and then we are trusting God to give us what we need so we can give so the missionaries can have what they need too. How many are drivers? How many drivers do we have here? Hold your hands up if you drive. Okay. Now, when you drive at night, you turn the headlights on, right? And you're trusting those headlights to give you visibility, let's say 200 feet ahead of your car, so that you can see whether there's anything that is dangerous to you. And you're driving by faith, because if you're going 50 miles an hour or 80 kilometers an hour, and you're going down the highway and you're only seeing 200, 300 feet ahead at the time. But you're trusting that when you get 10 feet up on, you're going to see 10 feet further. Right? You're living by faith. You're trusting that car when you turn the key or push the button that it's going to crank. You're living by faith. Let's live by faith in everything. Let's trust God. God is Almighty. He's the one that we can really trust. By doing this by faith, whatever it is, that second job I've got, am I doing it by faith, or do I just feel I need that extra money for myself? Listen, we have to live by faith. We have to live by faith. Faith is the victory. It's the way we can overcome the world. It's the way that we can make sure that God will honor us with what we desire of Him. A life of faith. Well, we can't park there, but we should. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Believe. Trust in Him. He can move things that we can't move. He can do things that we can't do. But let's notice the first verses in chapter 15. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. It's a life of sacrifice on the part of the strong. If we do not indoctrinate and teach those coming behind us, what is the next generation of Christians going to be like? You see, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Not my good, his good. His good, you see. We must receive one another as the Lord did us. Am I pleasing self or others? Who am I pleasing? If we please the Lord, listen to me, if we please the Lord, everybody else is going to be pleased. If they're godly and they want to live for the Lord, everybody's going to be happy. You can't please people. But you can please the Lord. And if you please the Lord and you can get others around you to please the Lord, then we'll all be pleasing. Right? We'll all be pleasing. We'll be what we ought to be. You see. There were two famous Christians back in the Victorian era in England. Their names were Charles Spurgeon and Joseph Parker, two of the great preachers of that time. And early in their ministries, they fellowshipped and even exchanged pulpits. Then they had a disagreement and the reports even got into the newspapers. Now, can you believe it? Oh, my. I mean, you know, this disagreement became public. Okay. Spurgeon accused Parker of being unspiritual because he attended the theater. Interestingly enough, Spurgeon smoked cigars, a practice many believers would condemn. Now, who was right? Who was wrong? Perhaps both of them were wrong. When it comes to questionable matters in the Christian life, cannot dedicated believers disagree without being disagreeable? I have learned that God blesses people I disagree with. I know a lot of people I've disagreed on a little point over, but God's blessed them. Okay, well, let's be a little tolerant here. You understand me, you see. A friend of mine told me one day, and I have learned the same thing. When Jesus Christ is Lord, we permit Him to deal with His own servants as He wishes. Don't try to be the judge when God's the judge. But make sure you're the subject that the judge doesn't have anything to judge. You understand me? Now you can take care of that. That's something in your realm. The devil, according to legend, once had advertised his tools for sale at a public auction. When the prospective buyers assembled, there was one oddly shaped tool which had a label, "Not for Sale." Asked to explain why this was the devil's, devil answered, "I can spare my other tools, but I cannot spare this one. It is the most useful implement that I have. It is called discouragement. And I have it, and I can work my way into the hearts otherwise inaccessible. When I get this tool into a man or woman's heart, the way is open to plant anything that I can, I desire. Okay? Don't be a discouragement to your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay? And the way you live may discourage people. You know, if we could get these six principles into practice and be of one mind and with one voice for the glory of God, wow, it'd be amazing what could be done. Amazing what could be done. I hope that these six principles will help you in your Christian life. And I don't know if you're discouraged or you're battling with something in your life simply because you've allowed something that's not scriptural or allowed something that you weren't spirit-led in to be in your life. You always, during life, have the opportunity to make a change for righteousness and make a change for the betterment of your life. Now's the time to do it. I hope you will. These six principles can help you if you live by them. Dear Heaven.